Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real As Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Taylor Yates
and Paige Yates.
In this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team. How you doing, Mom?
Good, thanks, T.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Anything up lately?
New year, new challenges.
Still have that like new year glow on you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're all into our diets, our purging and cleanup.
Oh my gosh. Did you know that that January 1 is the number one day of the year for gym signups?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. It's funny.
New year's resolution, right?
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. I'm going to go to the gym every day.
It's true.
Cool. So what are you up to lately?
So I just want to say in this endeavor for me to kind of open myself to doing more fun and interesting things or different things, I had the experience of going a couple of weeks ago, going to see at the MFA, the Henry Moore and Georgia O'Keeffe exhibit.
Ooh.
And it was first and foremost, I had no idea why they picked putting the two together, because I've seen both. They're very different. But it was really fun for me to feel like I was doing something cultural.
Mm-hmm.
I think we do a lot of things, you know, on a day-to-day basis that fill our days, whether it's work, whether it's sports, whether it's working out, whether it's, you know, going to Boy Scouts or whatever it may be. But to kind of choose to do something that intellectually is more interesting and a challenge or different, let's put it that way. That's my kind of cultural component. And then in kind of looking for cool ideas from when I was looking for things for Christmas, I found this really cool thing on Instagram, which is a packet for the different states in the United States. It's done per state. And they put together 50 adventures in the state that you live in that you might not know about. Like it might be zip lining in Massachusetts, which I would never know anything about zip lining.
Right.
Or it might be in Ohio going into the Hocking Hills to see stalagmites and stalactites, going into, or the Indian Mounds. But it is really a cool little packet of ideas that are not on the beaten path.
Right.
And if you Google like what to do in the state, you know, it won't come up. So I got to say those two kind of life broadening opportunities kind of intrigued me.
Yeah. You know, I think what's interesting of what you just pointed out is, you know, there's some things that we just do as like part of our routine. They repeat. We do them every day or every week, every month. And then there are these things that are not routine, that you just do once, and that's kind of all you need to do to like get most of the value that you could get out of them. Like go to a museum, you know, a temporary exhibit at a museum, or go to, I don't know if I would go ziplining every day, but I'd certainly do it once, you know?
Well, it was interesting because I hadn't been to the MFA in so long.
I know.
Right? And the last time I went was when I went for the Chihuly exhibit. And so these independent exhibits that come in, you have to really pay attention.
Yeah.
So now that I'm kind of hooked up and, you know, more aware of it, I'm looking for those kinds of things to enjoy and share with people I know.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome.
Anyway.
Well, cool. So this week we're talking about the winter market again. And in particular, how to overcome winter selling hurdles. So why don't we talk about, you know, we talked a little bit about the challenges up here. You know, the weather, it can either be really bad and logistically disruptive. It could even just be mildly bad and make and reduce your curb appeal. How do we overcome some of those?
Well, one of the things I think I mentioned was that when I go into, for instance, a seller's home and we're going to do something in the winter months, there's things that you can do to create a little bit more cozy ambiance, like having the gas fireplaces turned on or music kind of playing, which makes it feel more homey. Because sometimes when you're looking outside and it's bare and brown and gray, and, you know, and you've got the heat on, so it's, you want to create more of an ambience inside.
Yeah.
I also say to sellers, for instance, that if they have any kind of photographs or pictures of either a pool being opened in the summer and kids playing in it or beautiful flower gardens in full bloom, I try to have those at the home. So when someone comes in, they don't look outside to the gray and the brown, but they looked at these pictures and can envision what it's going to be looking like outside in the summer months.
Yeah. I'll add to that. I think colors really, really matter. Like in New England, I feel like one of the things that happens in winter is that colors just drain from the landscape. Like the sky is always this like pale gray color. There's salt on the road, so even the asphalt looks gray. Lawns kind of, they're still green, but they're just not bright green. And so what you can do, both inside and outside your home, is pick some bright, bold colors to accent with. So for example, like I planted like dogwoods in my garden because they have those pretty red twigs in the winter. So that adds, you know, they look just, honestly, they look fine in the summer. They actually don't look amazing.
Right.
But in the winter, they look awesome.
Yeah. Or planters, you know, can be redone different times of the year.
Yep. Holly looks great. Junipers can look really nice because they have those blueberries on them. But inside, you can do the same thing. Like, I know you and I both don't like scented candles, but you could just, instead of lighting it, you could just have one out, right? A bright red winter-themed candle as like an accent piece on a table or...
But for short money, people can do things like go buy inexpensive blankets with color and put them on their furniture just to give a pop of color.
That's right.
Or they can also do plants or, you know, a bouquet of flowers that, you know, brighten up, bring color to a room.
Yeah.
So I agree. You have to be thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
And identify areas that need to be strengthened, but you can certainly warm up a house and make it appealing for a winter sale.
For sure. What do you think? Any other tips in the winter? Clean things out, right? Keep it, because you're going to be spending a lot of time inside.
Right. You know, do the best you can to minimize each room.
Yeah.
Even if it means putting everything in your garage.
Yeah.
Or into storage, into your basement.
Yeah.
The more people can see the space in a room, the better.
Right, because it's your open house. They're not going to be strolling the grounds.
They are not.
Everyone's going to be inside, which means it's going to be crowded. And the less crowded you can make it feel, the more spacious.
Correct.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back with our question of the week.
Did you know that Taylor and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today.
All right, so mom, how do you handle situations where a deal falls through at the last minute?
The first of all, I cry.
Yeah, I was going to say, I cry.
So that's the first point. I think, knock on wood, it's having done this for 35 years, I can say two deals have kind of fallen apart for me in 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they were directly related to developers or builders buying property and getting construction loans.
Mm.
And that is a tough market. So you have to kind of educate your seller as well as make sure that the builder you're working with is financially sound.
Yeah.
But usually if a deal is not going to get, you know, to fruition, there are indicators before the day of the closing or the day before. And I just try to stay on top of all the things that could possibly give me information to make sure the deal's going to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just say, after crying, I would try to regroup and see if there's any way I could salvage it or try to find the buyer that was in the second place and make it happen.
Yeah.
So.
Right. So I found that I've not had the misfortune of having this happen yet, but it will happen. It will happen someday. The way I deal with most crises with my client is start with like let your client know that you are on their side and you are thinking about how to salvage this for them. Because however big of a problem it is for the agent, it's a much bigger problem for the client, right?
100%.
Like our commission money is on the line, but like they're like
their asset is on the line.
Yeah. Yeah, their asset is on the line.
Yeah, it is.
So start with like, look, here's like, first of all, this sucks. Don't sugarcoat it. Just be like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
I don't like it. Before I talk to them, I say like, here's what I understand. Do the homework to be able to say, here's what I understand the problem is. And here's are the paths that I see forward, right? Because they don't want you to brainstorm or share your feelings with them on the phone,
right? And you shouldn't. I mean, your job is to facilitate and get the transaction closed for both parties,
right?
So if there's some, I mean, I can tell you, it doesn't happen often, but when it has happened, there was a very specific indication early on, and we just had to keep working it and see if we could solve it. But we, in some cases, you just can't.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for the awesome question. If you're a curious cat and would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yeatsboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yeats Team Boston. That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you enjoyed this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yeats Team Boston or on the web at yeatsboston.com.